This episode of Robin's Podcast is sponsored by Sensible Portions. Sensible Portions garden veggie straws are deliciously crunchy, a better-for-you snack that the whole family is going to love. Sensible Portions garden veggie straws have a flavor for every taste, like fiery, spicy, screaming hot, whoa, or tangy, zesty ranch. And they've just launched two new flavors, barbecue and sour cream and onion. Sensible Portions garden veggie straws have a light and airy texture, and get this, they have 30% less fat than leading potato chips, so you can snack both sensible and delicious. It's a perfect on-the-go snack for kids to take back to school. And Sensible Portions has also come out with a new product, Sensible Portions Garden Veggie Puffs, which are baked and never fried. It's a perfect poppable snack, and it comes in three delicious flavors: white cheddar, sour cream and onion, and screaming hot. Ah, no artificial preservatives, flavors, or colors. That's Sensible Portions. So head on over to amazon.com/sensible portions to try Sensible Portions garden veggie straws and new garden veggie puffs. That's amazon.com/sensible portions. Hey everybody, what's going on? Rob Cicerino here, and we have got some great coverage for you here today, because we are going to be talking with Gandia Johnson here on the podcast. I have been really looking forward to this one. I had been chasing Gandia and messaging her on Instagram for the last couple of weeks, hoping that she would come back after she was on Talking with T-Bird. I got to post the link to that Talking with T-Bird interview, because that was a really great one that we did earlier this year. Anybody that heard it, I think, is going to be hyped for this interview here with Gandia to talk about Survivor 41. It's been a big week on the podcast, of course. In addition to the know-it-alls, I had a great conversation with Brad. And then it was a very special recap for me with T-Bird Cooper coming on. And, you know, I was expecting a normal interview with T-Bird talking about everything from Survivor this week, but I had asked her to do an intro for me for the podcast. I thought that would be funny, to sort of like, she could like start the show with an intro to me like she does on Talking with T-Bird. And she went so far above and beyond the call of duty, special guest. She called my mom, that it was, I'm very thankful that, nobody sent me any mean comments on Twitter today about like, 35 minutes and still no Survivor. I mean, I would say to that person, you know, I mean, we are going to probably do like 10 Survivor podcasts this week, but no, I appreciated that I didn't get any mean comments. And so, gratitude towards T-Bird, who is just, you know, an angel on this earth. So thank her so much for that. And, you know, if you're interested in listening to that, people were so nice. People said that they were very moved listening to that episode of the podcast. So it's nice that we, you know, can do something that's like, you know, unexpected, and, you know, something that definitely hits different during the Survivor week. And I think that that's what we have in store for you today here with Gandia as well, because I think that she is very fired up to talk with us about Survivor 41. Plus, still to come this weekend, Survivor Feedback Show. Peridium is going to join us, of course, the great YouTuber. He's got a million great, amazing videos, so well researched. I'm sure we'll talk a lot of strategy with Peridium on the Feedback Show coming up over the weekend. We dropped that early for our patrons. And on Monday night, I will talk with David Bloomberg on the Survivor 41 patron Q&A. We've been doing those on Monday nights the last few weeks. We'll be back again live, 7 p.m. Eastern. Have a lot of fun with that. Taking your calls live. So if you have some Survivor questions, didn't get in the Feedback Show maybe, or you want to call in and talk to myself and David Bloomberg of YX Lost fame, you could do that on Monday night. So be on the lookout for that. Plus, we've been doing some Big Brother interviews this week as well. Posted interviews with Arissa Cox, host of Big Brother Canada, Derek X, Hannah Chata, and Claire Rafis. All of those interviews went up over the last couple of days on robhasawebsite.com. And of course, you can subscribe to the podcast at robhasawebsite.com/subscribe. Before we get to Gandhi, I got to thank a sponsor for this episode of the podcast. Those are our friends over at Noon Hydration. Of course, that Noon Sport makes your water work harder. It's hydration you can feel. When you sweat, you lose vital electrolytes and minerals that your body needs in order to keep moving and recover efficiently. Noon Sport is optimized for hydration and mineral replenishment before, during, and after a workout. Just drop a fizzy tablet in your water bottle to support your hydration anytime, anywhere. Noon Sport tablets are packed in convenient, easy-to-grab tubes, so you can take your optimized electrolytes on the go. Noon Sport is made with only 1 gram of sugar and carefully sourced premium ingredients that are certified non-GMO, gluten-free, and vegan. Noon Sport is available in 13 delicious flavors, including fan favorite cherry limeade, which has an extra boost of caffeine. To get your game-changing hydration, visit noon.life/Rob. That's NUUN.life/Rob. Enter code Rob for 25% off your first order. All right, I'm so excited to bring in this guest to talk with us here today. We had one of the best interviews in the history of Rob's podcast back earlier in 2021 when she was with us on Talking with T-Bird, and we're very excited to welcome in to talk Survivor 41. It's Queen Gandhia. Gandhia, how are you?
Yeah, so happy to be here. Dang, my forehead looks big. What if I do the whole interview like this? Woo-wee. Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here, Rob.
Thank you.
It was a long time coming, and I'm very happy we made this happen.
Good. I'm glad that you were up for it, because we had so much fun when we talked. I think that was like back in January of this year. And you gave us such a great interview of, I think we like hit every single emotion in one interview. It was such a great podcast. I have to thank T-Bird for all of her contributions to making that whole episode and getting us to be talking. But you said you would come back during the Survivor season, and when it was the start of the season, I was sending you a million messages. Gandhia, please, will you come on the podcast this season?
Yes. And on the 1,000,001 message, that's when I said yes.
Okay. I have to be persistent.
Your tenacity served well for you, sir.
Yes. Yes. So Gandhia, how are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. I just booked a national commercial ad today. My agent called me, so that is amazing.
Congratulations.
Yes, thank you. My two boys are grown and thriving, doing the college thing and finding their way. And my day job is the day job. I've got, all of my creativity is coming out. I'm getting cast in plays. I'm producing some things. And I'm even starting to do the beginnings of some direction for stage plays out here. So it is fantastic. I just moved to Boulder.
Yes. Okay.
So now I'm like super bougie. Okay. So I'm moving up. Yes. Yes. So, right, so I'm Boulder, in Boulder now.
That's the bougie area.
Yes.
Okay.
So when I first moved to Denver, Boulder to me was an aspiration to live there, because, everyone that came to my husband and I's salon at the time, they were all very affluent and they had really good careers, like doctors and lawyers and physical therapist, and I'm a professor at the college, and they would come downtown Denver and get their haircut, and they would talk about Boulder and how long they've lived there. And so I looked at Boulder as a very affluent community, but one that wasn't very diverse. Mm-hmm. And so I looked at it as if I were able to move there, that would show that I have accomplished something. So I was able to move up here in July. So,
congratulations.
I'm making moves and I love it up here, and moved me and my sons up here, and it's fantastic. So cute little college town. They all crunchy and healthy and stuff. They be riding bikes with their flip flops on. They be taking chances in Boulder, honey.
Because what do you mean they're taking chances?
Flip flops. Listen here. You cannot ride a bike in flip flops.
It's dangerous.
That's not a thing. Yeah. They just do it all the time. Like, if I told you how many people I saw riding bikes and flip-flops, I'm like, y'all are just, it's a recipe for a disaster.
Mm-hmm.
But they do it. Yeah, they're very adventurous out here.
Well, Gandhi, speaking of adventure.
Yes, sir.
We have a brand new season of Survivor. It's a new era of Survivor. And for people who didn't get to hear our last conversation, could you just talk about been watching the show, you mm-hmm. keep up with it. Mm-hmm. Did you miss Survivor the year that it was gone?
Yes, I did. But in the interim, I played online Survivor. So that kind of fed my need. It's still ongoing. I'm still in the running.
You're still in the running? I feel like that was from January. You just said that you couldn't tell us how it went.
Come on. Yes, I can't, because I can't spoil it. It's airing now. Like, when I talked to you, we had just finished taping it.
Gandhi, so they make the real Survivor faster than this.
I know. That's how good it is.
No.
The Survivor Addict at Instagram, he's amazing. To me, it's very much like the Survivor experience.
Tell us again, what's it called?
The Survivor Addict.
The Survivor
at Instagram
Addicts.
Or at the Survivor Addict.
Yeah.
Wait, let me make sure it's the Survivor Addict and not, well, Survivor Addict.
Okay.
At Instagram. Mm-hmm. And so, he was very adamant, you can't talk about certain things. You can talk about, what's going on in the show. Mm-hmm. And because there's other IRL players that are in the show with this current season.
All right, I don't want to spoil it.
Okay. No, I can. He told me exactly what I could talk about. Okay. So Missy Bird is on there, and Ron and Karishma and Reem.
Oh.
And, mm-hmm. And so it's got a lot of meat to it.
Mm-hmm.
So the other online, because I've only played with the Survivor Addict. I've only played those online games. And the last game that I played before this one, I was the only IRL player. And this time there's like five or six IRL players.
When you say IRL players, you mean
in real life?
Okay. No, I understand what that means, but that are you saying like real survivors that are playing the game, or you were?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So we played the game Survivor in real life.
Okay.
So I got that handle from the online fans that played a game with us. They call us IRLs. They call us long times, or, veterans. Yeah, things like that. So they do little lingo to let you know, like, these people are old.
So, I'm an IRL too.
You are.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, honey, if you was,
I'm a long time. Yeah.
You, that game will be fire with your ass on there. I'm telling you. But I feel like when you play in real life and then you play online, you already have the mental game together.
Yeah.
So a lot of the online game is a lot of the mental game,
mm-hmm.
and talking to people and the social part of it. So that part of it is kind of exciting to do that in that realm.
Mm-hmm.
And, there's not that much physical challenges. They'll do things for endurance, like staying up all night and putting in numbers. So, but the social and mental game are just like amazing to me.
Oh my God. You have to stay up all night? I mean,
sometimes because he tries
What's
to.
What's the prize?
The prize is, hello, I won. if you win an online Survivor game, that's clout. I don't care what you say.
Mm-hmm.
And from a fan point of view, and I'm sure you can agree because you were a fan before you came on the show too.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just kind of like this secret underbelly of knowing Survivor stuff. Mm-hmm. And it's just another feather in my cap, as far as I'm concerned, because we all know my season. I became a cutting, but I didn't really win. So, it's a chance for me personally to show that I do have what it takes to get to the end on jury or whatever.
To do well.
Correct.
Yes. Yeah.
Correct.
I get that.
Mm-hmm. And the chutzpah, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. So I had so much fun playing it, but there were some times where I was just really exhausted because of how much you have to strategize and do or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get up and go to work the next day, and then the host says, okay, at 12 o'clock, there's a challenge. And I'm like, I have a meeting.
Yeah.
So it was, I really thoroughly enjoyed it. And the content that I have provided in the clips on Instagram when you watch it. Thoroughly entertaining.
Okay, now you talked me into it. I didn't know you were doing confessionals also.
Oh, and my confessionals, none of them are typed. All of my confessionals are in person.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so the content, you get to see me at my best, you know, just talking shit. And I just watched a couple clips of myself yesterday, and I cracked myself up. Is that bad if you crack yourself up?
No, I don't think so.
Kevin Hart does it all the time. He makes himself laugh.
Yeah.
And he'd be saying, don't make me laugh. I'll be laughing at myself. Like, I really am a fool. It's so enjoyable to watch myself laugh.
I think if you're funny, I think you can make yourself laugh.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I do that often.
Because I know my wife says to me, oh, nobody thinks you're funnier than you do.
And that's exactly how it's supposed to go. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's the content is great.
Yeah.
You get a lot of Gandia, and okay. I think if the fans want to see that, that they should tune in.
Okay, I'm going to check it out now. Now you talk me into it. And Reem, of course, among others. Some great IRLs.
Ron gives some video professionals too.
Yeah, Ron is one of the great ones.
Yes, honey.
But Gandia, let me ask you about Survivor 41. And I want to get your take on this new era of Survivor. Mm-hmm. And what do you think so far through three episodes of the show?
Okay, so the first thing, first episode, all the diversity, love. You know, we have an Eastern Asian person. We have some African-American people. You know, we have... I believe she is LGBTQ+ community on the Yaza tribe. So we have older people. We have younger. Yeah. So there's so much diversity. I feel like this season in particular is really a cross section of America. And I'm looking at it and I feel like all the groups are being represented.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And that was very comforting. To me, that's the first thing I was super excited about. The second thing is the game within the game within the game. That's tea. And then also,
you mean the puzzle,
yeah. Or just like how the other one person from the tribe has to go to the secret meeting and you got to sneak off and, it's the secretiveness. And then when you go back to your tribe, you can tell them the truth or make up something. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of strategizing within strategizing, which I think is a brilliant twist to it now. And then people are able to bet on things and make wagers on things that normally you would just earn, right? Or find. So now they're able to make the game even more intense.
Yeah.
Right. It makes it super exciting. So I'm super excited about that. I like that there's three tribes.
Yeah.
I like that two of them win, another one got to go, or one wins and the two got to go vote. I like how it's moving. Yeah. I like the fast pace of it too.
Well, let me ask you about, you said you like that there is all this other stuff where, deciding, taking the risk, you could lose your vote, and there's all this strategy that.
Right.
I don't feel like that has been a popular decision to have all that show. So it makes me happy to hear that you are saying that you are enjoying it, because I have to say I'm having a lot of fun with the season. But a lot of people, especially hearing, people that played in the, early seasons, like, hey, this is
the dinosaurs like me.
Yeah. Right. Like us.
Right. I'm a T-Rex.
I don't know which one I am.
I'm not a Brachiosaurus. Brachiosaurus had a long, skinny neck. No, I'm stocky with little ass hands. Mm-hmm. That's me. Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm. But there are a lot of people that say, hey, well, this isn't Survivor anymore.
No. See that? Okay. So here's the thing. This show has been on for so many seasons. There has to be an evolution of it.
Mm-hmm.
There has to be. There has to be an evolution of it. Because surviving in and of itself is an evolution, right? There isn't one way to survive something, right? It depends on what situation you're in and how you adapt to survive. So they're changing the landscape of the playing field to make the survivors do more things and to be more savvy and make more decisions. It's so interesting. And so the people that think that it's too much, or they have their opinions, but I think if it didn't evolve to what it is now, it would start to get super boring. Mm-hmm. And then the only exciting thing that you would tune in for is Jeff Probst and his incredibly taut skin.
Very, very taut.
I said what I said. So it's like, there has to be more interest. There has to be more interesting things to make the game keep going.
Yeah. And right? I agree with you. I think that they with like, I think we have a little bit too much with the losing the votes, and it's getting a little hard to keep track of. But
yeah, I was going to say that it's confusing, a little confusing.
Yeah,
because the last one I watched, I literally was there with a piece of paper, and then like halfway through the show, I'm like, I'm not going to be this nerd that takes notes so I can keep track of who has what. Mm-hmm. Because to me, that part is kind of analogous to me playing online. Because online, I constantly had to keep notes or else I wouldn't remember things. So some things I wouldn't take notes on, I wouldn't remember. So, but the online game, you need that kind of specificity, that detail, because you're playing online. And I feel like they're bringing, you know, I like the changes that they made, but I feel like maybe it was too many changes for just one episode. Maybe put in a few and then 42, we add these, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So that might be a bit of a culture shock for long-term fans that see that happening.
Well, I hope they keep doing one challenge, because I feel like that, you know, I can live with this for now, that I feel like it's been very fun. But if we get like sort of like you have to go make these decisions and there's a reward challenge on top of that, and then we have to go to the other island, I feel like then we're never going to see anything about what's going on at the beaches. Right. So I feel like that I know people are complaining about this, but if it's in the place of the reward challenge, I still enjoy this more than the reward challenge.
And I like how the tribes have one person and they're, you know, meeting together and they're doing these little side deals. Yes. That to me is exciting. And it's going to turn out to be something real messy. Wait till we get to tribal.
Yeah.
I mean, to jury. And then they're going to talk about, you know, because it makes the messiness. The messiness is kind of what we like. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And they're doing that on purpose. Not only are they meeting one person from each tribe meeting, but then also we have to make decisions that could ultimately affect our tribe when we get back. Mm-hmm. Right. So the messiness is just delicious.
God, did you have a favorite player so far from this season?
Okay. So I really like David, but here's the thing.
Yes.
I want to pick somebody who I think is going to win. Mm-hmm. And I don't think it's going to be David.
No,
but I really like David.
Yeah.
Cause he's a little survivor nerd. You know,
Survivadin. I don't think it's going to be
Survivadin. Survivadin shaped his life. Survivadin made him get some women, even grown some hair. He said, I used to be ugly and a nerd, and now I'm fine and I'm athletic. And so I feel like, come on, Survivor. You know, I want to put Survivor in tablets in a bottle. Like, do you want to be successful and attractive? Take Survivor. Yeah. So it was like, he's putting so much of his personal success on this show that he's watched. Mm-hmm. He is my favorite for that. He really is, because I feel like a lot of hardcore fans maybe feel like that.
Yeah. Now you said David, are you talking about JD?
Yes.
Okay.
David, not his name.
Well, David was the guy who got out last week. That was Voce.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Voce. See, and then they have the nicknames.
Yeah.
It's like online. Like their online name is Gandia, right? But then their actual name is Brunhilde, and I don't know in that.
Yeah.
So I know that Voce.
Yeah. So JD talked about how JD. He was a kid, and he talked about how he was a nerd and he was bullied, and then Gandia, if I knew that watching Survivor was going to keep the bullies away, I would have started talking about this show even earlier.
Talk about it. I mean, for real. I mean,
I got bullied because I told people I liked Survivor so much.
Exactly.
Like, loser. Like,
shut
what are you
up, nerd. He making being a Survivor nerd cool as hell.
Hey, it's who wants to talk about Survivor? Get out of here.
Yeah, he's an ass. Shut up. But he's like the Dungeons and Dragons guy of Survivor. Mm-hmm. He's like the guy that's making it cool, right?
Yeah.
And I really like that. And I like how much his life is actually tied to his experience to the show.
Yeah. So
I really like him for that. And I like his messiness, because he's not perfect.
Yeah.
He's a little messy boo.
He is messy.
He got caught with that thing in his pants. Like, yo, bro. But then it's like, you don't have pockets, you know. Mm-hmm. You don't have pockets. Sometimes you don't have panties. You don't have drawers. Mm-hmm. So he probably thought, I'm just going to put it right here in my waistband so it doesn't fall down. Because, if you know, it could have fell through his shorts and then he lost it again, then someone else found it.
Mm-hmm.
But his whole veiling that maybe he found it, horrible. You're a horrible liar. So then I like him too because he's so honest and authentic and he's a bad liar.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I like that part about him too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah. I think it's interesting to see somebody who is like a young person. And of course, you know, we see like very mature young people on the show, mm-hmm. but mm-hmm. I think that to see like 20-year-old I'm not sure how old your sons are, but I feel like
they're 20 and 23.
Yeah. I feel like that sometimes I think that, you know, there are people that, you know, are, you know, just coming into adulthood and maybe they feel like a little bit more confident in their abilities of like what they're able to get away with.
Right. Yes. And because they're millennials, right? Is that right?
I think they're Gen 20? Z now.
Okay. So yeah, him having the perspective as a Gen Zer mixed with the Survivor thing is like, it's such a good mix, right? Because I know from having a 20 and 23 year old, there is a huge sense of entitlement that comes with that generation. And I don't know where the fuck they got it from. No idea. I mean, these motherfuckers be quitting a job before they find a new job. That's how ballsy they are. Oh, you know what? No personal title. I'm out of here. What? Only a half an hour lunch. You know what? I'm out of here.
In other words. You know?
And they leave. They do the Jerry Maguire. They straight up bounce.
Who's coming
so
with me?
They're yeah, come with me. So their ability to see possibility,
yeah,
for themselves, I think it's a brilliant and a very brave attribute mm-hmm. to have, because I have that a little bit. My sons have that a lot of bit, mm-hmm. like 1,000%, right? And so JD
yeah.
has that same attitude, right? So for Survivor, it's brilliant because he's willing to take all these chances and do all these things that somebody that was older with him wouldn't think about.
Yeah.
But it's working for him.
Mm-hmm.
He's still staying.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I think that's a really good mm-hmm. point that I feel like, you know, Survivor always wants to try to skew younger and younger with the players that they have on the show. Mm-hmm. And I think that traditionally, like, the older players are going to be playing it more conservative. And of course, they want everything fast, 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 like big moves,
yes.
big moves. So, yes. you know, who's going to make risky moves like that? You know, young people.
Mm-hmm. And so they're putting... They're taking these big chances
mm-hmm.
and the way that they're structuring these little mini games and side games, they're banking on people to make big decisions
yeah.
like that. And it makes it so juicy for me. Oh, so juicy. So juicy. I want to talk about the old lady though.
Oh,
I want to talk about Vicky. Vicky, is that her name?
Jeannie?
Yaza?
No, Tiffany?
The oldest one yeah. that had the mastectomy.
Yeah, that's yeah. definite. Yes.
That's going to be, she's going to be, I'm going to make a prediction right now.
Yeah.
Vicky is going to be in your top four.
Tiffany.
Tiffany's Vicky. Her middle name is Vicky.
Okay, listen, I can
Tiffany,
keep trying.
Vicky.
So Vicky is Tiffany. David is JD.
Come on, get your Dakota books out, guys, because this is how I'm going to do the rest of the interview. Tiffany.
Yeah. Why is she a Vicky? Do you know a Vicky?
I just thought her name was Vicky.
Or she looks like a Vicky.
She looks like a Vicky.
Yeah.
To be honest.
Mm-hmm.
But she is going to be in her top four because, see, there was a Tiffany on Big Brother. That's why
yes.
I didn't say Tiffany.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Shout out to the cookout.
Yes. Did you watch Big Brother?
Yes. That's my show. It's Survivor and Big Brother. They're equally yoked.
Yeah. Well, can I ask you about the cookout? What did that mean to you to see the cookout?
Everything.
The top six?
It meant everything. It meant everything. Because when I was on Survivor, they were not practicing diversity. I remember having a conversation with Mark Burnett himself about how you need to put more brown people and Asian people and gay people and I've had that conversation with him. And network television in general doesn't really create shows for people that want to see themselves, right? So my whole life growing up watching TV, like I've been a super TV fan. My father says I've been an actor ever since I was 3 years old. Mm-hmm. So me seeing people that look like myself on TV was something that was rare, right? So that's why when BET started, I was like watching only BET because I just only wanted to see black people on TV. I wanted to see people that look like me. And so with the Big Brother, there hasn't been anything that magnetic, and in this time that we're in now, for these black people, for these black folks to just gravitate towards each other and work together, because there wasn't a lot of discussion about it, if mm-hmm. you remember.
Yeah.
It was just like a vibe.
And understand.
It was like a vibe.
Yeah.
Like when you meet that girl, like when you met your wife, you're like, yo, I'm about to be my wife.
That's was how exactly how it was, Gandia.
I'm sure, I know. And she can call and thank me later because I'm sure I accurately depicted that. So it's like to see these black people come together and really support each other and represent each other. And really their whole objective was to get us through. And then they were able to do it. Right.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know. Colin was kind of bugging, but they still made it. Right. And so it's an unprecedented thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I was with it from the first episode when they talked about it. I thought the little name was cute because I'm going to say this, you know, Caucasians have barbecues. Black people have cookouts. So they could have called it the barbecue, but the fact that they called it the cookout was even more for the culture. Right. Mm-hmm. And so them having the six go to the final where they were, it was guaranteed that a black person was going to win.
Yeah.
And for a black person, it's huge. It's monumental. Monumental.
Mm-hmm.
It was amazing. And then the way Tiffany orchestrated it so expertly.
Mm-hmm.
But then she tried to trip and run the challenge. I'm like, okay. All right. What are you doing? Okay. I get it. Yeah. You know what I mean? So it was,
mm-hmm.
Unprecedented. I was really, really excited and happy that I was able to witness that as it happened. And me and my friend Carrie watched, he's a fan too, and we watched it, and it was just so exciting, you know, for us to see that. I mean, it's just, and for CBS to cast that many people to make a cuckoo, mm-hmm. okay, that's really saying something too. So you can see for me also being involved with CBS and the Viacom franchise and to see that progression
mm-hmm.
and to see that you've not one, but two shows are just really being diversely casted
mm-hmm.
is just like, it's a fresh air. Like, it's awesome. It smells like barbecue and cocoa butter. It's amazing.
Yeah. Well, I'm just kicking myself now that we didn't talk to you about Big Brother.
Oh my goodness, honey. I was every week on that. And me and my friend would simulcast because he lives in Denver and I live in Boulder. And we would simulcast, we'd get popcorn, we watch it, and we talk a shit. And it was just,
yeah.
How about Big D sleeping through the whole season? And then here was me. I was like, Big D, but he's actually big. So shouldn't you call him Slim Thug or Little D or Skinny D?
Was too on the nose, Big D.
Two on the nose.
Yeah.
Two on the nose.
Mm-hmm.
Slim D,
mm-hmm.
Freaky D, you know, anything freaky other D. than Big D.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, little Freaky D, you know, he looked like he'd get a little freaky.
All right. Well, you were talking about Tiffany on the Yasa Tribe. You said she's going to be in the final four, and you were
she's
about
a sleeper.
To tell us.
She's a sleeper because like, she's like momming. She is momming the shit out of everyone.
Yes.
She's momming. Tiffany on Big Brother was momming everybody. That's how the only reason why she didn't get on and she's on the jury is because she took that challenge when she wasn't supposed to. So people don't really trust her.
Mm-hmm.
Tiffany on Survivor, she's momming people. And you can tell that she's doing it because when the three of them met her, Brad, and the other girl from the Grain Tribe, she was like, we can all make a decision right now. And we can all decide all tarps. And as she's talking to them, I'm like, she's momming y'all. You don't see she's momming y'all? You can do the dishes and you can vacuum. Well, what you gonna do, mom? Well, I'm gonna supervise you guys.
Mm-hmm.
That's how she's doing. And if Yaza wouldn't have won that challenge, I think she would have been in jeopardy of leaving. Mm-hmm. And so she's an opportunist.
Yeah.
She's a little bit of a manipulator. She's a mom. She's momming them.
Yeah.
And I don't think they realize that she's momming them because they're not really looking at her like that.
Yeah.
They're looking at her like her physical ability. And so, that's going to be their downfall.
Gandhi, last week, they had to make a decision of they could have voted out Tiffany. They could have voted out Voce, or they could have voted out Xander, who has all of these advantages. Did you feel like that they made the right decision, or was it a mistake to leave Tiffany?
I think they should have got rid of Xander because he's balling.
Yeah.
You know how it goes, Rob. You got to get rid of the ballers at the right time. You can't have a baller go with you all the way. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Because then that person takes away your ability to ball. You understand? And Xander had all these balls already. So for me, I'm like, he's got to go because he's strong. He's got to go. It's time for him to go. Like, we used him up until this point and we got to go. But I also feel like he helped them win that last challenge.
Yeah.
Nobody was going to throw them bags up there like he was.
Mm-hmm.
And I think getting rid of Voce at that point was probably their best decision for their tribe because they losing. So the way Tiffany did, she mommed him. She was like, yo, we can go for Xander, but I'm saying Voce, we do Voce, we're safe. And then they did it. And then who wins the immunity for them?
So do you think that Evie and Liana need to worry about Tiffany? Do they need to get rid of her also?
No, not yet.
Okay.
I think the Three Women Alliance, I really like how they're playing that. So they need to keep doing that. And if they win another challenge, then I'm sorry, Xander, you got to go, baby. You got to go. You got to go. Because I don't know exactly. See, what's intriguing to me is when is the merge going to happen? Like, when is that going to happen? My theory is when they get down to maybe 8 people or, you know, 6 or 9, you know, maybe there might be 3 people from each tribe and they merge with that 9. So I feel like that 3 female tight voting alliance, they should keep that and then use that as leverage when they merge.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Because it's like, yo, our group, we got 3 votes like right here. There's no dissension.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like there's not that type of good group alliance with the other tribes. I feel like the other tribes have like, we're 2 and then there's these 2, you know what I mean? And then, you know, not everybody trusts each other, but those 3 ladies, let's call them the Witches of Eastwick, if you will. I feel like they are able to cast their spells on
Jack
everyone.
Nicholson?
Yes! Yes, he is. He totally is.
Yeah. So I agree with you. I think that the merge is going to be at a smaller number because the last few seasons, you know, we merged as like 13 and, you know, 12s and stuff like that. And I just think that with this shortened season, I think that it'll be a smaller number, probably like 9 or 10, like you're saying. Does it bother you that they have a shorter season?
No.
Yeah.
No.
Right.
I mean, it's part of the whole evolution thing. I like the quickness of it. Right.
Right. There's a lot of downtime on Survivor that people don't realize.
God. And I'm glad that I'm showing all that shit. Because really some of that is really boring unless someone is exciting and talking about something exciting.
Mm-hmm.
And what really is there exciting to talk about on an island? Nothing. We don't have fire. We don't have water. We don't have food. That gets boring.
Yeah.
That gets boring. One of y'all need to die spontaneously to make this exciting, right? So I like the quick pace of it. You know, you're not waiting for nobody to die because it's going fast.
Mm-hmm.
You know that shit is true.
Boy, it's so quiet. I hope somebody, you know, maybe.
Well, it's really quiet. You think someone passed away? Could you imagine if Survivor had a live feed like Big Brother?
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God.
Oh.
I think he's strangling that man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So that would be, maybe that's coming. I don't know. That would be crazy.
So. I don't think so.
What? No live feed on a remote island in the middle of nowhere? Come on, Rob. Where's your inventiveness?
Mm-hmm. You know, you talked about Jeff briefly, and you talked about how you feel like he's looking very taut.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was being
less taught.
No, he lives real life.
Yeah.
Hi, guys. Come on in. All right. Yowza with the points. Waku. I feel like he's getting older.
Yeah.
Okay. And you can tell by how tightly his skin is pulled that he probably has a lower body fat percentage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you think that Jeff needs to eat more?
I think, yeah.
Somebody should invite him to a barbecue.
Like, you know how your face is? It's nice.
Oh.
It's not. So Jeff's face, Jeff's neck is like, he looks kind of like cryptic keeper-ish. He can stand to eat a couple steaks and potatoes and go to bed at 8 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
Because I also feel that as you get older, you need to have a little more fat. Because
where's his quarantine 15?
Oh no. He looked like he'd been quarantining for years and just eating bread and water. Like, that's not hot. I don't think that's hot. I want to see a hot host. Like, Jeff to me used to be, he could get it. But now it just looks like, he looks gaunt. He looks, you know,
yeah.
He looks like he's been on the island by himself waiting for them to get there.
He's on day 26. Yeah.
I'm sorry. I need a younger host. I need a younger host. I need a more vibrant host. Mm-hmm. I need a host that knows posing the question. If I say, hey, come on in, guys, I need that host to know that maybe that phrase is not appropriate. Mm-hmm. And how about we be more progressive and suggest, come on in, everybody.
Yeah.
Everybody, come on in. Now, he could have been doing that. And the problem, I wanted to talk about this specifically. On the first episode, he makes this big, there's this big scene about asking everyone what they think. And then the camera pans to the lesbian, then the other lesbian, then the dark brown, and the brown. And so everybody's getting their look on their face. And then, you know, the nice yellow lesbian, she says, I think it's fine.
Yeah.
So my thing is, if you have to pose the question, there's a question on whether it's inappropriate. So then make a choice just to make something that includes everybody.
Yeah.
Because if you're trying to be inclusive, that's what you should do.
Mm-hmm.
But it was like he was putting on an act like, I want to be so inclusive, so I'm going to ask a question, everyone, to be inclusive. No, you could just make a decision and know that saying, everybody, come on in, come on, everybody, is the best way to approach that. I just thought it was kind of staged and it was really whack, to be honest.
Right.
Because to me, it looked like you're still trying to discriminate while you're saying, I'm not going to discriminate. That's why.
Yeah. If they just came into the season and said, come on in, everybody. How many people would have gone on Twitter and been like, what? Did they say a different word?
Well, oh my God, it's always coming, guys. What's going on? Nobody really would have done that.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because the real fans have been waiting so long for the live show to come back.
Yeah.
But then you're making a performance of being progressive. That's how I saw that.
Mm-hmm.
And then he talked so much when he was doing it. I had to keep looking at his neck. I'm like, oh.
Yeah. You don't like it that Jeff talks to the audience at home now? He really hasn't done it that much. I mean, he did it in the first episode, and then really, it was they didn't do it at all this week. They only did it for a second at Tribal Council. I wonder if they tried it and it wasn't really working.
The whole thing with him doing confessionals is, it's like your boss really likes you, and your boss wants to take you to lunch. And she thinks you're so cool. And then you're leaving at the end of the day. And then your boss says, okay, best friend, I'll call you tomorrow on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not your friend. I'm your employee. This is uncomfortable. I feel like he's overstepping.
Yeah.
Because we really don't. Here's the thing he needs to understand. We really don't watch the show to hear you talk that much.
Right.
We're not that interested in you. And then you got this tight ass neck that looks like Crypt Keeper-ish. You're not fine like you used to be. You're not all rounded out. So I feel like don't mess with the good thing that it is. Mm. We want to see the survivors confessionals. We want them to talk to
you. You feel like as a viewer.
Because you're the brass. Yeah. You're the boss. No one really wants to hear you unless it's during a challenge or a task. You know, I'm going to need you to get your Hollywood somewhere else, baby. It's not on this show. It's not your chance. It's not your time. Wait for the finale. You can say whatever you want in the finale. But during the show, I need you to stop all that extemporaneous talking. You need to leave it alone. Leave it alone, honey. You know what he should do? Voiceover.
Yeah.
We could try the voiceover. That would be cute. The survivors now are walking on the beach. And there's a little bit of a problem with Yaza getting... That would be tight.
Because you wouldn't see him. You would just hear him.
Right.
Yes.
Right. That would be tight. But he's trying to get his screen time, honey. Maybe he needs his SAG card. Yeah. He probably needs his SAG card. So you got to get a certain amount of hours.
We'll be right back talking more with Gandia Johnson, but we've got to thank a sponsor for this episode of the podcast. Those are our friends over at Peloton. And of course, to talk about Peloton, we can't talk about Peloton without the first lady of podcasting. Here is Nicole Sestrino. Nicole, how are you?
I'm actually really good. I just finished a 30-minute ride with the killer and glitter Olivia.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay, so this is no joke. Nicole is all in on Peloton, of course. You may have tried, I know I have, various different ways to try to stay fit that we don't always stick to. Of course, the beauty of Peloton is that you can do so much in your own home. Nicole, you are somebody that always really swears by that fitness is your favorite form of self-care.
Yes, it keeps me feeling good. And I work out more now than I did before when I had a gym membership.
Yeah, sometimes things can get overwhelming, especially now. Taking care of yourself is the first thing that can go. But if you can spare 15 minutes, that's the great thing about a lot of these Peloton workouts is that you could do 15 minutes, 20 minutes. You can fit them in. That's where Nicole has got me doing a bunch of the different workouts, a lot of them that we are able to do together.
We do it together.
We have time in the morning and we're able to fit it into my busy schedule. If I can fit it in, you can too, and there's never been a better moment to commit to your fitness goals because the original Peloton bike is now $400 less, of course. Nicole, where do you fit in a Peloton class in your day?
Whenever the boys are driving me crazy and I'm about to explode, I go on my bike and I do a 20-30 minute ride and I come back and I'm refreshed. And I feel so much better.
There's inspiring instructors. Nicole feels like that they are all her friends.
They are my friends. Don't say they're not.
There's all sorts of different music. So I know that I like to pick things out by playlists that you can pick out.
90s playlists are amazing.
You don't have to date me there. there's cardio and strength classes too. Like to do those 20-minute workouts. I feel like that's a great way to fit in a workout that you don't have to. And you really, they put you through it in 20 minutes.
Yeah, you leave that workout feeling accomplished.
Plus cardio and strength, you get one subscription for the whole family, classes for every level, and limitless class variety. You may not be into one particular workout. You're not going to believe all the different varieties of workouts that Peloton has for you. So, Nicole, experience motivation like never before with the new Peloton bike, now $400 less. Go to onepeloton.com to learn more. That's onepeloton.com.
Seriously, guys, if you want to feel better, check out Peloton. It will change your life.
All right, Nicole, I got to get back to Gandhi, okay?
All right. See you in 2 hours.
Gandhi, could you talk a little bit about Brad? Because I thought he was a lot of fun on the show.
Oh, that was a quirky little one, wasn't he? Mm-hmm. And we was a little sticky wicket, that one. I'm going to tell you, episode 2, when he was like, I know they're going to talk about me. And I can beat him to the beach. I know I can. And then this motherfucker is like, this motherfucker is run. And I'm like, is he running along the beach to beat them to where he knows they're going so he could ear hustle? Brilliant. Brilliant. Mm-hmm. But you were too quirky. He was too much of a loose cannon.
Yeah.
Yeah. You got to go, B. Mm-hmm. He could have really, his strategic mind was really brilliant. But he was too weird. So his weirdness took over his brilliance.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes that happens.
Gandia, what did you think about when he snuck out and built.
Oh my God! You are all I need is a snoring machine. Mm-hmm. I got it together. First of all, his makeshift imitation body, horrible, horrible, horrible. That didn't look like a person.
Right.
And JD was like, and then you see his eyes open. I'm like, oh. And then he went back to sleep. And I'm like, that's a hot, you're not fooling anyone.
Mm-hmm.
Even in the dark, bro. If I get up and see them skinny ass, long ass, it was so funny. It was so funny.
Yeah.
Because he really thought he was doing something.
Mm-hmm.
And the way he snuck off, I'm like, there's no wall in front of you. Like, they can actually see you moving and rolling away. It was just so funny. He really thought he had it together. His fake person was terrible. And to be honest, I don't even think he needed a fake person. You know,
who was looking for him?
When you go to sleep on Survivor, you know this. You are dog dead tired.
Yeah.
With doing all the challenges, being in a hot ass sun, not eating, dealing with drama. When it's time for everybody to go to sleep, everybody's sleeping because we're all exhausted. So his whole, I make the body. Ain't nobody checking for you like that, Brad. Ain't nobody checking for you. Ain't nobody checking for you like that.
Mm-hmm.
Not one person stirred while he was like doing the fake body. That's that weird shit I'm talking about. That's why he got voted off.
Yeah.
And he was completely blindsided.
Gandhi, how do you think he did when he had to say the secret phrase about that? Now that you think about it, broccoli looks like little trees.
Right. And he was supposed to get his tribe to say that, right?
He was supposed to say that. And then somebody from the Yasa tribe was supposed to say the butterfly thing. And then somebody from the other tribe was supposed to say the thing about, I'm more confused than a goat on AstroTurf.
And then that's how they were going to determine if they all got or if they two all, got or
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah, their idols all would work then.
Yeah, he kind of like fucked that up, I think.
I think he did.
Let me think about it. Yeah, he fucked that up. Like, because it was so fucking easy. And so then he's like, oh, I guess I should have said. Yes, they're cold words for a reason, you weirdo. Yeah, he fucked that up. He's going to, you know, that'll probably be a finale question for him. But yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Gandhi, could you bring up the, now that you think of it, broccoli looks like little trees.
Yes. Marijuana? Oh, no, we're not doing that. I'm sorry.
Hey,
you want me to elaborate?
Yeah.
You want me to elaborate on whether that's a true statement? I really should have got high before this because this sober mind, I'm really like thinking of I'm overanalyzing the words. Mm-hmm. So you want me to, what?
Yeah. If you got that clue and mm-hmm. you need it, now you lost your vote. You got to say, I didn't think of it until just now. But broccoli looks like little trees.
Yes. But did he mess it up because he didn't say it at the right time?
No, he was just like, I'm just like, I look like broccoli.
His dumbass. No, that's how he fucked it up with his weird ass. Listen, weirdo, this is how I would have done it. You want to see how I would have done it? You know, broccoli looks a lot like little trees.
Just out of nowhere,
with the face, and then butterflies, and then the other one goes because I'm gonna make an exclamation point when I say it.
Yeah,
I'm making it a big fucking deal, and it's coming out of nowhere, so I look like I'm weird.
Are you worried? They're like, can we get medical in here to take a look at that?
Baby, that's every day of my life too. The paramedics stay behind me just in case. Denver called Boulder and said, okay, listen, this crazy ass girl's coming up there. They were at my house waiting for me when I moved in. So mm-hmm. I have a contract with them. They're fine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm allowed one incident per week. And mm-hmm. after that, they charge me. But no, it's I think when you have a phrase like that, that has to be said specifically, in my opinion, it has to come out.
Yeah.
But he was trying to like hem haw. Oh, I think that no, just you have to say the code words as a code word phrase, because then that triggers the other people to say it. The way that he said it like that, didn't nobody know what the fuck he was talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And no, you don't look like broccoli, Brad. You don't.
What does he look
like? You don't.
Like?
He looks like a goddamn one of them people that be in Boulder running their life away. There are people that run.
He looks like a guy that rides bikes with sandals.
Yes! Yes! And runs in sandals. Like, he looks like one of them people that have them little gorilla shoes that look like you have gorilla feet. He looks like that type of dude. Right? He looks like a dude that would just run a marathon in his bare feet to prove a point type dude. That's what he looks like. He ain't got no body fat on his ass. But see, unlike Jeff Probst, his whole body looks skinny, so it matches.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I'm just digging him. I'm just shitting on Jeff Probst again. I'm sorry, Jeff.
Gandia. So Brad ended up in danger. His tribe lost the challenge, and so Shan had to make a decision. First off, have you liked Shan so far?
I like Shan. I really like her. I really like her authenticity.
Yeah.
And to me, authenticity and Survivor bodes well for you.
Mm-hmm.
But she has a savvy and she knows when to speak and when not to speak. So I feel like she has a good combination of all the qualities that it takes to be successful in this competition.
Yeah.
And she's cute as a button. She's so cute. Mm-hmm. She's cute as a little old button. Yes. Mm-hmm. So she is orchestrating the things that she finds out and using them. Like JD. I'm not giving you what I found. I don't give a fuck what you say. I'm not giving it to you. So if I give it to her, then I'll... But the only reason why he felt compelled to do that is because she made him feel compelled to do that.
Yeah.
Right? And so she's manipulating him without it really looking like it's her.
Mm-hmm.
She's making it look like it's his decision because the intimidation is messing with him.
Yeah.
Right? So to me, that's the most brilliant way to play.
Mm-hmm.
It's my big fat Greek wedding way of Survivor, where you make the other person feel like it's their decision.
Mm-hmm.
But ultimately, you're orchestrating what's going on. So she's good with that. She is on the level with Tiffany, with the momming.
Yes.
Right? So I she is one of my favorites by far.
She had to decide, really. It seemed like that she was the person who was going to make the call of decide to keep Brad or decide to keep JD. Do you think she made the right decision?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yes. Yes. Brad, listen, no. Brad's a loose cannon. He's like a Frenchie.
Yeah.
He did. You got to make, he cool at first. And then 2-3 episodes go by and you're like, this motherfucker's weird. And then you start having these kind of conversations. So you think Brad?
Mm-hmm.
I think Brad. Let's do Brad. Ooh, that reminds me of something. The first episode, how they were having little chit-chats behind the motherfuckers while they're in tribal?
Yeah.
I was like, yo, that's fucked up. That's fucked up. Yeah. It's like someone talking shit about you right in front of you, but they're not talking to you. Yo, that was shady boots, and I loved it.
You loved it.
Because I was sitting there going, wait a minute. Now they can't. Oh, that was amazing to me. It was so deliciously messy. It was so good.
You like that's it. Because some people say they don't like it when the players get up at tribal council and start whispering.
No, I like that shit. You know why? Because that's real life. That's real life. We need to throw one of these motherfuckers off the boat. Who are we going to throw? I don't know. Come here. Let's talk about it. I don't care. I don't care if you sit right in front of me. I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them were not really trying to whisper either. They were just like doing some fake whisper shit. I'm like, this is the shadiest shit. I loved it.
Mm-hmm.
I loved it.
Yeah.
I loved it. I never saw that before. That was really, I thought that was dope. And so mean, which is why I loved it more.
Mm-hmm.
That's great.
Do you like how this season they have the shot in the dark where
with the bag with the rock?
A dice that you can play your dice and then you get to be maybe safe. You have a 1 in 6 meh. Shot.
I'm a meh.
Yeah. That doesn't add anything
that,
for you.
I think that makes it's meh. It's like this is not a board game. I don't need no goddamn rocks in a bag. Fuck that. Let me hear your vote, shorty. That's what I want to see. Are you voting for me or not? You know, I'm not going in no bag. You know, black people reaching in bags. That's not good for us. You ain't gonna see no black people reaching in that bag. Or pull out the black rock. No, it's racial. No, I don't like it. No, I'm just playing with the racial thing. But no, and black people don't have good luck reaching in bags or bags in general over their heads or whatever. No, I don't like it. Just kind of like, it's like an extra little annoying thing so that the person that everyone decides to vote out has a chance not to get voted out, which adds a little bit of that messiness that I enjoy. But the bag thing is like, I think the show is exciting enough without it. However, I do feel the bag is going to come into play more as we whittle down the players. So, you know, I think it's an interesting twist, but I'm on the fence about it.
Yeah. Gandhi, do you have any feelings about Ricard? We haven't talked about him at all. Who's in that other tribe with.
He's awesome. I do not like him. I don't like him. He just seems super like shady and disingenuous. He gives me that vibe. So I'm not really with it. I'm not really feeling him. I'm going to be honest. I'm not really feeling him at all.
Do you think that Shan needs to watch out for Ricard?
Yes. Because as you know, Ricard and JT got their little secret, let's hold hands and go to the beach relationship. And you got to break that shit up. Because especially I have to break that shit up before the merge. Because I'm sorry, I'm gonna shit on men for a minute. You know how y'all be sticking together. You know? Y'all get your penises together all in a bunch and then all of a sudden you wanna just get rid of some women. So I feel the least men the better, and them two are trouble together. And he's sneaky. He's sneaky and shady, he's a little snaky. I'm like, nah, he gotta go. He gotta go.
So
I don't like him.
The other person that's there is Jeannie. So do you feel like that Shan should look at picking up Jeannie?
Yes. Because here's how I'm looking at it. You got the three Witches of Eastwick on Yaza.
Yes.
Right? So then Shan and, you know, what's her name?
Jeannie, JD.
Jeannie. Yeah, Jeannie. Shan and Jeannie get together. So then when we got the merge, now we got five boats working.
Yeah.
And then you create a stronger woman alliance, a stronger female alliance. And if I am, please correct me if I'm wrong, sir. I don't think a female alliance has gone far in Survivor at all.
Yeah, well, not
an
recently.
All-female alliance.
Not recently. Right. Yeah, it's been, you know, we haven't had a woman win Survivor. It's been over 4 years since a woman has won Survivor.
Yeah, so that's another reason. Get rid of all the dicks. Y'all need to cut them dicks out. I'm going to tell you. Because because it's just like when men are allowed to play later in the game, especially with the physical challenges, it's we just don't have – women don't possess the same strengths that men do, right? We have strengths in our more lower extremities. Men are naturally, you know, built to have their strength in their upper extremities, right? And that's genetically, unless someone's really working out or they're a bodybuilder. Or I'm sure I'm going to get a lot of shit for this comment, but I'm just being for real, y'all. And so I feel that if you stack the deck with females, then that levels the playing field for a female to win again. And in order to do that, you got to snip. You got to make a lot of snip, snip, snip. You got to snip them. You got to cut them. You got to cut them out.
Yeah.
So I think the females have an advantage to really come together and vote out all the males. That's what I would like to see.
Well, I felt like that the longer this goes on where a woman hasn't won the season, like I feel like that you're going to get to a point where the women are going to come together, you know, not unlike the cookout and say like, hey, we're going to make sure a woman is going to win this season.
And we're going to make sure that we get a younger female host. I'm going to keep hitting that home, honey.
Gandhi, you're not vying to be the host of Survivor.
Do you
right?
know if I was the host, I would kill it? You know I would kill it.
I think you would be very good.
Don't even try to lie. Don't be giving me that very
you would
good.
Do,
come on,
you,
man.
You, would
you
do
know
a great
what
job.
It is.
You would do a great
you
job.
You know what it is.
You would
exactly.
Yeah.
Right. And so the guards got to change, baby. Either me or somebody else. But you got to get somebody younger, diverse, progressive. Who knows that saying come on in everybody is just a better choice than saying guys, because that's a male connotation, especially people that are pronoun specific now. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You got to evolve. okay? And if you're worrying about all that fat that's not in your neck to make you actually look as young as you're trying to look, you get distracted.
Mm-hmm.
So, I ain't gonna be mad. Yes, I think that a female host would be most excellent, and I think that would be a good direction for the franchise to go in.
Yeah.
Just cut out that other 5 seconds before that part. We'll fix it in post.
Yeah.
We'll fix it in post.
Okay. Gandhi, what about the other tribe? There's the blue tribe that I feel like we don't know a lot about.
Yeah, they're boring.
They're boring?
And the reason why they're boring is because they're winning, so then they don't have a lot of downtime. They're just going and chilling. And who just wants to see survivors chilling?
Mm-hmm.
No one. We want to see survivors under stress.
Mm-hmm. Do you think we're going to see that Luvu tribe throw a challenge this week?
I've never liked the idea of anyone in any challenge show to throw a challenge. I think that's whack.
Yeah.
I think that's extremely whack. Except in the, now I'm thinking, in the cookout, they threw some challenges. But that was for the greater good.
That's a different game. I mean, that's basically like, Big Brother is like Survivor after the merge, where, you know, it's like, you know, I don't think that there was too many times like the cookout, like as an alliance, like, okay, let's throw
Exactly.
Yeah. But
he's wanting to convince his whole tribe to throw a challenge.
Because Nasir is the person that he's been throwing around, you know, Danny's name. And then
that's the top four, too. Nasir's in your top four.
You think so?
He's in your top.
I feel like he's in trouble, Gandia.
Oh, he's in trouble, but he's going to make it.
Yeah.
Watch. Mark.
Well, what do you see?
Because his ability to detect deception and the way that he brings his findings back to his people that he's aligned with, he's very savvy.
Mm-hmm.
So he's a target because of that, but I think he's so savvy he won't get voted out before the merge.
Mm-hmm.
That's a cunning one, that one there.
Yeah.
I mean, he's been watching since he was, what, 2 years old?
I don't think he's... he's been watching for a while.
He was so grateful to be there.
Yes.
You know, his gratitude was beyond reproach.
Yeah, he said he learned really English from watching Survivor.
Okay, so that's not a good place to learn English. And then he thanked Jeff for teaching him English. I'm like, boy, if you don't stop faking Jeff Probst for teaching you English. I taught you English. I taught you English, too. Okay? Where's my thank you? Huh? You taught him English? Ain't you mad about that? I'm mad about that. Jeff's the only one who gets the credit. I saw that goddamn show, and I speak good-ass English. The fuck? You better thank everybody. Jeff Probst. What? But I like that, though. I'm like, you couldn't find Sesame Street or, I don't know,
mm-hmm.
Reading Rainbow. I mean, so many other great educational programs where you could have learned really great. Survivor, okay. So.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm saying, I want my credit. Rob wants his credit. Everybody.
It would be nice.
Learn English from all of us.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Have him on the show. I'm going to jam him and ask him about that. Oh, hello. I'm looking for my thank you.
Huh? Yeah.
Right.
Gandhi, what did you think about Sydney, who that Nasir told her that, hey, I want to vote out Danny, don't say anything, and then she went back and told everybody?
Yeah, so I feel kind of a way about that. I feel like the best strategy is knowing when to keep things close to your chest,
mm-hmm.
and when to expose information. And I just didn't feel like that information did her any service.
Mm-hmm.
I just feel like, I just don't like that kind of gameplay. I like the person that is going to take that information and use it to actually do an action with it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Gandhi, what if you had gone to the island like Sydney did? Would you have gone for the tarp, or would you have gone for the steal a vote?
The tarp.
Mm-hmm.
And I would have convinced them other motherfuckers to get a tarp too. Y'all ain't got no shelter.
Yeah.
Do y'all got shelter? No. You know it's raining all the time. We need protection. right? But then there's people like, well, you don't want to survive. You got to go me. Hey, I want my tribe to be covered. So I want to come home with something so that I gain more of my tribe's trust. My tribe don't care nothing about no stealing a vote or whatever. And the odds of winning that were so just too big of a risk.
Mm-hmm.
And you're at a part of the game before the merge where you need alliances and you need people that are going to go with you past the merge. And so I felt like it was in everyone's best interest to just do the TARP.
Mm-hmm. Gandhi, let me ask you this question one of our RHAP podcasters, Jason Reed, had asked on Twitter. Let's say you did procure a TARP for the tribe. And you came bebopping into camp with it. How do you explain where it came from? Do you reveal to the tribe that you left after you found an advantage and you didn't tell them about it? So you snuck out. How are you going to explain that you came home with a TARP?
Look, motherfuckers, I got a TARP.
Where'd you get it from?
I got it from the secret meeting that I went to last night.
But why didn't you tell us?
Look, motherfuckers, I got a TARP. Do you see this TARP? I could have got this TARP or done a steal a vote. Yeah. Now I was thinking about everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And I got a TARP. Mm-hmm. Did you get a TARP? Did you get a TARP? Did you get a TARP? No. So help me put this TARP up
mm-hmm.
so we can take a nap under shelter that I brought back.
Yeah, but nobody even got a TARP.
I know, because it was stupid. They were stupid. They should have all voted to get a TARP and came back to the TARP. With the TARP.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the thing. If I'm bringing back something for the whole tribe, you better not ask me where I got it from. You better not make me look like I'm some kind of disingenuous because mm-hmm. I made a sacrifice to bring this TARP back for everybody because I'm thinking about everybody. But my aggressive nature in answering that probably would get me voted on.
I think that had it been raining, like at some point in the first 6 or 7 days, they all would have taken the TARP.
Yeah. And so for me, when my game was in Thailand and we were there during monsoon season, when I saw that episode, I'm like, TARP, TARP, everybody get TARP.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm thinking that
and you had
their
a cave.
Environment. Yeah. Yeah. But still. Yeah. We had a cave. If we didn't have that cave, it would have been terrible.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I mean, being out there and all constantly being wet is terrible.
Yeah.
So I want the TARP so that we can have some dryness. And then that's showing my good faith that I got everything for the, but I know what you're talking about. Some people on my tribe are like, did she only get that TARP? Or did she also get steak?
Steak?
Because that's what people think. Mm-hmm. That's what they think. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I know she got more than this TARP, but she probably got ribs, but she's not telling us. No. Mm-hmm. Right. But I feel like it would have been the best good faith gesture for all of them just to decide on the TARP and do the TARP.
Mm-hmm.
But then here go Tiffany, mom and them, confusing them, saying, what you guys want to do? I think we should do this. And then all the votes got all jimble jangled when they should have just decided. Because then also, if you guys come together to make that decision to bring TARPs back, therein you're making alliance with the three of y'all. Which I think is a good way to go when you do those secret meetings. You need to align yourself with those people because that's going to bode well for you later. Right? It's not just about the vote. You know, but if I was going to go and do that, I'm not explaining shit. Listen, I got the advantage. I got up late at night. I went in there with two other motherfuckers. They wanted to do steal a vote. I convinced them all to get the TARP. We all got TARPs.
Mm-hmm.
You welcome. You welcome. Hello? Where's the thank you? Hello? That would get me off. That whole attitude thing about being questioned, that would have got me voted off.
Mm-hmm.
But I still would have came back for a talk with everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're in the beginning stages of where they're really trying to like make a survival system for each tribe.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So if you lose your flint, coming back with a tarp is a get.
Yeah. Do you like that they take the flint away?
Ooh, that's great.
Oh, you love it.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love it. I don't remember having flint. You remember having a flint?
That's
a no.
Yeah, I don't really remember. Yeah.
No, me neither. I don't remember that either. Mm-hmm. So
I wasn't really that wasn't my thing to make the fire, I gotta be honest. Yeah. that we had grown-ups that were doing that.
Me either. I was like, yay, fire! It wasn't me.
There was a fire. I don't really know how it started or how it got there.
But I was very gracious. I shake my titties around. Oh, fire, it's so warm. But I'm not the one making the fire. No, I know. Sometimes you just do that. You know, you get happy and you're like, yes. But you don't have titties, so you don't know. I don't know what you guys shake. Your balls? I don't know. But women, we go, So I like the flint. I like that they have it and then they get it taken away when they lose, because that adds an extra, exciting tidbit to the game. You know, you want to win because you don't want to lose one of your elemental pieces of your survival, which is making fire.
Gandhi,
I really like that.
Who do you think is getting voted out next?
I'm going to make a big prediction here.
Yes.
I'm going to say the blue team.
Yes.
Is going to go to tribal. Why are you making that face?
No.
Okay. The blue team is going to go to tribal. And maybe the football player. I think the football player.
Okay.
That is a long shot. In second place, because I don't want to seem like a total boob, I would say that it would be Xander from Yaza.
Mm-hmm.
That's my second choice.
Mm-hmm.
I want the blue team to go because they've just been winning. And that's kind of boring. So I want to see someone that we don't think is going to go. Mm-hmm. Since we're getting close to merge, it might be people that want to vote out stronger players.
Mm-hmm.
And that former football player is definitely a stronger player.
Yeah.
So I think they might try to blindside him to get him out the way.
My prediction is, I feel like that if they tell us in the commercial, in the promo, in like next time on Survivor, that they're going to throw a challenge, I feel like that they're not going to throw the challenge. Or they're going to try to throw the challenge, and I feel like they're going to still come in second place.
I thought about that too.
That's just my sort of like.
That's a very good.
Yeah. But it's a new era. Maybe you know, I'm playing by the old rules.
Right. I'm the progressive one of the two of us. And I think. So I think it might be a football player.
Maybe.
Which I don't know his name.
Danny.
And we've established well into this podcast that I don't remember names that
mm-hmm. well. Yeah.
But the personalities, I got it.
And then who is your pick to win the season?
You know, oddly enough, I like the East Asian guy to win.
Nasir. Mm-hmm. Okay.
He's the sleeper. He's my sleeper.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because, oh God, he would be so appreciative of everyone. Mm-hmm. I just really like how he came to the game.
Mm-hmm.
And an East Asian person winning would be unprecedented at this point. Either him or Shan. Those are the two people I'd like to see win.
So, Gandia, what else are you watching besides Survivor?
Right now? Well, Big Brother's over, so wah, wah. I am into the TLC Trashy program.
Oh, okay. 90 Day?
Stacey and Darcy. Oh, 90 Day, The Other Way, Single Life. Oh, God, I love all that messy ridiculousness.
I do, too.
That old-ass lady that's in India dating that young-ass dude, he ain't never going to ask you to marry you. He's not going to marry you, okay? You're 163 years old. He's not going to marry you. I feel like... I mean, you are dust, lady. And the last time he had that temper tantrum through the chair. Oh, next episode or next time, 90 Day Fiance. Oh, there she is again.
Yeah.
Are you going to be a Hare Krishna?
Yep.
What are you going to do? You going to train elephants? What are you going to do? You're going to open a monkey circus? What are you? You know what? You need to leave that dusty ass man. But I it's just like I love 90 Day Fiance because you have someone who's in this third world country, right?
Yep.
Who's really poor.
Yeah.
Very, very poor, right? And then you have someone from America that just so fell in love with them, right? And it's such a weird relationship. It's completely odd. And especially the other way, when you're leaving the United States to go to this other country that you've never been to shack up with somebody, it's amazing. Mm-hmm. I love those things. Mm-hmm. I also love me some Darcy and Stacy, honey, because it's just their treasure is a train wreck. I love them. Mm-hmm. I love to watch them. I love them. So I'm really into the TLC program.
Yeah.
Right now. I'm also a huge
They don't miss at TLC,
fan.
Right, Gandia?
They what?
They don't miss.
They don't miss. Every show on there, the pimple popper, my feet are killing me, you know, I got a bump on my back.
Mama boy, yeah.
Yeah. Me and my ex, first of all, the fact that they even got me, hold on, first of all, ain't no goddamn way that your ex is going to come and live in the house with me.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, are we supposed to have a nightly boxing match? Because that's what's going to happen. That's the only way that she gets to live here. We box it every night. And it's like they don't miss. It's mm-hmm. it's so deliciously entertaining. And I do also, I'm a VH1, but now I'm more heavy into TLC, but I still love my love in hip hop.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So
Gandia,
yeah.
We got so many podcasts for you to listen to that we got a love in hip hop podcast. We got 90 days.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then soon you will have a podcast from mm-hmm. me.
Yes.
Yes. So all you fans, like all my craziness and ratchetness and oh my gosh, it's so funny, you're going to get that. So in January, I'm launching a podcast with my very good friend and co-star. The name of the podcast is going to be called A Lighter Shade of Ratchet. Mm-hmm. And we plan to launch that in January.
Okay.
And we're going to cover a variety of topics from dating. We have a segment on financial planning.
Financial planning. I wasn't expecting that.
Well, because, you know, black people don't know how to do nothing with their money. We try mm-hmm. to teach black people how to keep their money and, you know, really manage their money. There's some things that we can offer. And, you know, not just black people, just people that don't know how to manage, you know, just.
Can you give me an example? Like what would you talk about in the financial planning segment?
Well, like don't go broke.
Yeah.
You know, and don't go broke by paying a whole bunch of bank fees because at the end of the month you're spending, if you're really, I got overdraft. Nope. Mm-hmm. You know, we're teaching you simple things that can help keep more money in your pocket. We want to talk about helping people invest on a smaller level, you know, because you can make money work for you. And I feel like, you know, in a lot of underserved communities, that's not a conversation that we're trying to have.
Yeah.
And so what we're trying to do is trying to bring awareness and wake people up to things that probably people don't really talk about on a podcast. But, you know, because of Gandia's presentation style, I like to say difficult things in the form of a joke. And I find that people remember them.
Yeah.
So, but then we just gonna talk about ratchet stuff, you know, things that are going on, you know, we'll have jokes, we'll have segments. Mm-hmm. There's one segment in particular where people consistently mispronounce words.
Yeah.
So instead of pneumonia, they might say ammonia. Instead of specific, they might say Pacific.
Yeah.
You dig? You see what I'm going?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, it's coming from a really good, funny place, but there's a lot of shade being thrown, and my co-star and I throw shade at each other. Mm-hmm. We'll look at content. We'll do some reality talk, and we'll just kind of look at things that are trending in the culture and things that are important to us, and we want to educate, and we want to make everyone laugh.
Yeah.
And we want everybody to see my face and be like, oh my gosh, it's so funny. Yeah. So I believe that I have the personality and the voice and the on-screen presence to make it a really great piece of entertainment where we can bring you content.
Yeah. So, well,
there we go.
Look, you sold me.
You guys heard it.
Yeah, I had so much fun.
The website is going to produce
Hold on. We have to talk.
Oh my God. I want all y'all to call Robin, email Robin, message Robin, and say, oh my God, that's such a great idea. You go produce her podcast. I'm just playing.
God, yeah. This was so much fun. I hope we do this 1,000 more times.
Yes.
This was so fun.
Same. And I'm going to watch a couple more. I want to see who wins the bet on who gets voted off next.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to that. You can have me on here anytime. You know,
I'm so glad.
Good to come on. I'm so glad we've made this podcast friendship.
Gandhi, where can people follow you?
I am Gandia Jobson on Instagram.
Yes.
And on Facebook, it's Gandia OB Johnson. Mm-hmm. And I'm also on Twitter.
Yeah.
But my Twitter handle, I don't actually remember it.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's because that's how you found me.
Yeah. Are you Gandia Johnson 7?
Huh?
I feel like there was a 7 in there, right?
Yeah, there's a 7 in there.
Yeah, Gandia John 7.
Yes, Gandia John 7 on Twitter. Yes, mm-hmm. Yes. Oh, you remember. Mm-hmm. So I'm very active on social media.
Yeah.
And I'm with it.
What's going on with Teddy Bridgewater? Like, is he hurt?
Yo, man, come on, man. You hurt my feelings now, man. Come on. He got a concussion.
Oh.
But you know what? That happens to scrambling quarterbacks. Because
mm-hmm.
I feel like the D-line be looking at him like, come on. Mm-hmm. Come mm-hmm. on, scramble. Come on.
Yeah.
And they be waiting. That's like waving a raw steak in front of like a pack of, you know, ravenous Dobermans. They want a piece of that meat. And they got a good hit off of him. I hope that he's able to come back in the next week or so. But he got knocked. He got his clock cleaned.
He's a good player.
He's a really great quarterback. He's a great quarterback. And the thing about him is the first part of his career, he just wasn't able to succeed because of his, you know, Achilles and, you know, him being benched for so long, especially in a position of being a quarterback. You need to be out in the action in order to make your game better. And you can't really be a good quarterback on the bench. So I was so happy that we got him here in Denver, and you know, he can experience a great deal of success here. He's an amazing quarterback.
Yeah.
But man, that hit, I heard that around the world. So, you know, my thoughts and prayers, I'm giving love and healing energy to Mr. Bridgewater, and please get better soon, baby, please.
Yeah.
And I thought he was a white guy. I didn't know he was black until I watched a game.
Yeah. Wow.
Is that bad? Terry Bridgewater? Come on.
Teddy Bridgewater, yeah.
But the Bridgewater really threw me off.
He's Teddy.
See, that's even worse. Sounds like my financial advisor. Hey, Gandhi, Teddy Bridgewater here. Ready to talk about your 401k? Okay.
Maybe is that going to be the financial advice segment? You're going to talk to Teddy Bridgewater?
Yes. He's going to come on as one of our guests. Thank you for that idea. That's great. He can come on with glasses. He can have a little pointer stick and like stuff written on a chalkboard. And we'll just feed him the line. But, you know, that would be great. Yeah.
All right. Well, Gandhi, this was such a treat. Thank you again for making time to do this. I'm so glad that you said yes.
Yes, I'm so glad that you asked me. And anytime you want to have me on, you let me know and we'll make it happen.
Okay, we'll do it again, okay?
Okay. Okay, right. Sounds great.
All right.
All right. I hope I win the bet next week. And I hope the football guy gets voted off and your guy doesn't win.
All right.
I hope I win. Okay.
All right. Talk to you soon, Gandhi.
All right. Thanks, Rob. Have a good night.
All right, everybody. There you have it. Gandhi Johnson. How fun was that? How fun was that to catch up with Gandhi? Of course, you can listen to some more talk about 90 Day Fiancé with Puya Zamakili every single week on our 90 Day Fiancé wrap up. Of course, had a lot of fun when I was podcasting 90 Day Fiancé. Puya is keeping it going, talking about 90 Day Fiancé the other way. You could subscribe to that podcast when you go to robhasawebsite.com/90dayfeed. We still have a lot to do here this weekend. Feedback show coming your way. Drops early for the patrons. We'll have a Survivor 41 patron call-in show with David Bloomberg coming up on Monday, plus everything from the B&B, YX Laws. Check out Taryn, Survivor Stock Watch, Survivor Global. So more Survivor coverage than you know what to do with. Thank you for making us part of your Survivor experience. It's so much fun to be back here on a new Survivor season with you. So thank you so much for listening. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye. Support for this podcast comes from our friends over at Geico. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. And I bet it can be hard work, but you know it's easy? Bundling your policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. It's a good thing, too. You're busy enough. Go to geico.com and get a quote and see what you can save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today.